Hey, everybody, and welcome to Checkpoint on Campus. As usual, I am joined by my co-host, Jacob Brothers. But we also have another guest in the building right now with us, Matt Nasha. He's the head of amateur and collegiate for Riot Games. Very special guest that we have with us today. Obviously, with C-Lul's playoffs, the brackets are already all filled out. The competition is getting ready to start in May, so we're very happy to have Matt here to discuss not just that competition, but a little bit of what's going on in collegiate in general. So, Matt, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, and so the first thing I want to ask is that, you know, the competition has gotten underway. We've gone through most of it without a hitch in the midst of a global pandemic. Throughout this entire semester, a lot of kids aren't back on campus. How pleased are you with how the competition has gone, even during COVID?
Yeah. So as everybody may recall, last year we couldn't put on the championships, obviously with COVID, which was disappointing, but also a good decision for everybody's safety. But that being said, everything's been pretty smooth sailing, as you said. Two interesting pieces that we have added actually during the pandemic was the expansion to the championships going to 32 teams. And then also, too, we added the selection committee. And then we just finalized, or the committee just finalized those selections, and that was announced yesterday. So that is now public and live. So that's been exciting and a really good opportunity for us to stay plugged and connected to the community. Everything being remote, obviously, the championships will be happening, which we're excited for. But unfortunately, we won't have them in studio this year. With those two changes, been really excited to see how that's been operating remotely. And then, like I said, just really kept us connected to the community. So it's all been really, really good. Really impressed with the team over here.
Yeah, and so, you know, I definitely want to touch on just collegiate in general for a moment, is that we've seen a couple of players move to the LCS. I'm talking about Niles and Iconic from Maryville that have moved up to Golden Guardians. Now, albeit, you know, with middling success, but that gave a lot of hope to a lot of collegiate players, and a lot of them see those two and think that there is some sort of, you know, pipeline that Riot is working on in order to get collegiate players into the league. On your side of things, do you see a lot of teams kind of leaning more towards that, or are they still more heavily invested in their own individual academies?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think the teams, the LCS teams specifically, are doing two things that we're seeing over the past year or two. First thing is they're committing to the collegiate space, not just on the competitive side, but we're seeing this on the professional side as well. We're seeing more workshops and more opportunities for programs and the universities at large to be connected to our teams. So that has been exciting to see. Secondly, to your question, as you guys may be aware, you know, we did revisit how we've incorporated academy and amateur. And so what that has done is created a new ecosystem that the universities have been able to compete in. So it's been really cool to see, you know, Maryville take on, you know, amateur teams and academy teams to see how they stack up. And so with that being said, it is creating more exposure for these players and giving the LCS teams some barometer to compare them against. I think historically for LCS teams, like collegiate, has been hard to say, well, how do these players then stack up against our academy players or our LCS players? And now we're like bridging that gap for some of the top collegiate teams. So it's been really exciting. And I'm excited to see what the LCS teams continue to do and how they engage with those players moving forward.
Yeah, similar to Norris's question, because on the show we talk about like the pipeline and how eventually that will be the future of esports potentially. So do you think that C-Lul is kind of becoming the first step of that, like the first esport to really tackle that? Because like in Overwatch, we haven't seen it as much. In Rocket League, we don't really see it as much. Do you think that League is kind of the first esport to be like, here is how you make a pipeline?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I know that's a lot of people want that because it's easy to point to traditional sports and say, okay, in football, you see this, and then player goes from, you know, ex-college to pros, et cetera. Esports is a bit different because you don't have the same gating factors that you have in traditional sports. So while I'd love for that to be the case, I think we're still a ways out. That doesn't necessarily mean that it can't exist or is not happening. But I do think we need to solve some additional challenges in the ecosystem from the LCS down that will help create that pipeline system to be more clear. So nonetheless, yes, it is something that we're actively talking about and we're working on. But again, it is a little bit nuanced and different. And so there's other challenges around it that we're currently exploring to kind of help create what that system could be in time.
Yeah, can you speak maybe to some of those challenges? Because, you know, it's not often that we get a chance to hear about somebody from, you know, the infrastructure side in terms of a Riot or Psyonix or Epic or Blizzard in terms of what sort of challenges they face to make the collegiate scene, you know, maybe speak a little bit easier to their pro scenes. Can you speak to maybe one or two of those challenges?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. On the collegiate side specifically, for every university, they choose to operate their programs differently. Obviously, not having a singular governing body, similarly to the NCAA, creates its own challenges, right? Just those systems that are or are not in place. So we're trying to figure out how do we create our system for the universities across you know, nationally, so that this makes sense for everybody. Secondly, the other piece is on the competitive side for the LCS teams. Again, what I kind of alluded to is there's two main factors. One, visibility. How do we watch these games? How do we see them? How do we understand who these players are? And then two, how do those players then stack up against the current academy talent? It's kind of the way I compare it and I share it to people is it's kind of like European basketball 10, 15 years ago. How did that talent compare against our NBA talent over here? And there was a lot of hesitancy. Now we've closed that gap and you're seeing a lot more of those European players coming over here. So that's the best way I can kind of compare it.
Yeah. And, you know, talking about visibility, and I'm not sure if this is something that you could reveal, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You know, it's a huge, huge scene, your CLOL tournament by itself, but there's a number of other smaller tournaments and brackets that take place over the country, you know, across North America. You know, are there any plans from Riot to increase the visibility of those, you know, of those collegiate scenes, particularly CLOL, obviously? But, you know, maybe to feature them on streams or during ads or anything, because one of the major factors that we hear about is that the ability to actually find the games and watch them is increasingly difficult with the more programs that continue to pop up. Does Riot have any plan in place or at least ideas to perhaps address that?
Yeah, it's a good question. So when I stepped into this role, it was one of the things that, you know, immediately we started talking about is, hey, how do teams, how do fans, how do people engage? There's two things that we're currently working through. So I'll caveat this with, we don't have the solve in place, but we are actively exploring. So one is the programming. What does the programming look like currently? And what are things that are working? What are things that are not? What are the quality of life changes that we can make? And that's pretty plentiful. And we're pretty deep into those discussions. Currently to help kind of solve. And then that goes right into exactly what you're talking about is the visibility component. You know, it doesn't make sense to scale across, you know, right, to have everybody. To have everybody, you know, on a Riot broadcast, but that's what the championships are for, you know, show the top talent. And so what we're currently looking at is how do we create more opportunity for the local fan base, you know, the people that are alumni, the people that are currently on campus, and how do we create better opportunities for them to engage locally with the universities and the school? And then, of course, over time, we could scale that nationally. So, yeah, a lot of problems to be solved there. Something that's definitely on our radar, but we are actively deep in those discussions.
A trend that's been happening a lot is a lot of big orgs like C9 or TSM, they've been introducing programs to help the players, but also kind of to teach coaching and management. Are there any programs that Riot has been involved with that is teaching people about like management and coaching and things like that?
Yeah. So when I was on the pro side, this was kind of one of those hot topics that doesn't get spoken a lot about, but I think we all acknowledge that this is like it's a huge area for opportunity. So for me, the way I see it is those systems, going back to one of the earlier questions around Path to Pro, you know, one of the things I'm looking to do, not only in the collegiate scene, but also in the amateur scene too, is like, how do we create better opportunities? In traditional sports, you see coaches with years of experience that have been mentored, worked their way through the systems and eventually come pro. It's not how esports works. I like to use the Fortnite example. When I had to field a Fortnite team and a Fortnite coach, when Fortnite pops up, who do you turn to, right? You're not turning to somebody with years and years experience coaching Fortnite. And so here with League of Legends, we are obviously very differently positioned based on our title and the fans and the players, and how many years we've been working with this title. So all to be said is that we can create those systems, and it is definitely something that we are looking to do and implement, and create a more direct path and more opportunities as we, you know, move forward here.
Matt Nasha, the head of amateur and collegiate for Riot Games. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a really cool conversation and enlightening, I think, to a lot of folks. Looking forward to the big bracket in May, the C-Law championships coming up. And, you know, where can everybody watch that? Will that be on the main stream? Will there be a separate stream from that? Where can we check that bracket out?
Yeah, thanks. So you can find that on the Riot League of Legends channel. So it should be broadcasted on the Academy channels, and then follow all the Twitters, LCS Twitter as well. We'll be broadcasting where you can find those games, as well as for the round of 32. It'll be on multiple streams. So yeah, excited to get visibility for these schools and for everybody to go out and support them. So appreciate you guys having me, and yeah, excited for the championships.
Hey, it's James from Checkpoint XP. Now, you haven't been grinding solo queue for nothing. You're good enough for a varsity esports team, but you don't know where to look. That's where Looking For a Group comes in. It's a directory of every college esport program in the country. Programs, scholarships, whether you're a varsity player or looking for a recreational team, Looking For a Group has everything. Head to lfgroup.gg, find the college esports community that's right for you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.